Man, wine can really take you back in time. After a glass of wine, I began to sit back on my couch, put my feet up, and really just think back to when I was a preteen kid. Trust me, that was a long time ago, like in the 1950s. Things were so much different then. Drugs really hadn't hit the scene yet. Rock and roll was breaking the music barriers, and hot cars were the coolest. Boys didn't have long hair, and girls were still mostly innocent. Wow, what a change today. So, you really didn't think I could jog back through memory lane and not associate it with protection, did you? Well, there really were lots of good things to remember. I remember walking to the A&W root beer stand alone with money I had earned mowing the lawn, a whole 50 cents. What does it cost you to get your lawn mowed today? Man, the root beer float was great, and I still had a dime to get back into the Saturday afternoon movies. The movies had short adventure shows before the main picture. Today, I don't have to leave home to get a movie streamed to my iPhone. Well, I digress. I used to ride my bike to the University of Florida Stadium on Saturday and sell Cokes during the game. And if it was a night game, I was out until 10:30 p.m. I didn't have, what do you call those things from the future? A smartphone to call home or text mom that I was all right. Would you let your kid do that today? So, I first experienced real threat when I was probably about 9 or 10. I was riding the bus to school, and a group of guys who always hung out together and would intimidate other kids because they were bigger and there were 8 of them. They would grab my lunchbox, open it, and then reach in quickly and get whatever sandwich I would have. That basically left me hungry at lunch. What did I do? I stood up, I rolled up my sleeves, and I took all 8 of them on. Not. It seems even then I had a predilection for protection and survival. I didn't take them on. I did, however, take note that they did this every day and they didn't change how they did it. One day, I gently put a couple of loaded mouse traps in my lunchbox. You guessed it. The same boy grabbed my lunchbox and, eager to see what I had for lunch that day, he swiftly put his hand in the lunchbox to grab my sandwich, but let out the loudest blood-curdling scream I ever heard. The bus driver jammed on the brakes. We all bumped our nose on the seat in front of us because we didn't have seat belts in those days. Can you imagine? Well, needless to say, when the bus driver reached the back of the bus, he saw Freddy with his hand in my lunchbox and 2 mousetraps on his fingers. Freddy admitted what he had done, was sent to the principal's office, and was suspended from school for 2 days, and I never had any trouble with Freddy after that. Now, my point to my story is that I didn't meet violence head on. I escaped from it, was able to assess the situation, develop a plan to cope with the future violence, secured my resources, and executed my plan flawlessly. It worked. Of course, then I had no idea I was doing all those things. Of course, I didn't have to worry about Freddy being so mad that he would have pulled out a semi-automatic handgun and drilled me 3 times in the chest. Big difference between then and now. Today, there's a lot more at stake. Back then, a few kids made up the whole bad guy crowd. For the most part, at least, as I noticed, they weren't high on drugs. A lot of times it was just some kids bucking authority. If they stole something from the store, it was a piece of candy or a toy. It wasn't an armed robbery. It wasn't a crackhead carjacking someone for $15 to buy crack. No question, there was some prostitution in our town. We knew that even as kids, but it was mostly older women in their 30s and up. It wasn't organized human trafficking like we know today. When we moved from our house to an apartment, I used to walk to my elementary school every day. Today, if the school is not in sight, you drive your child to school. Why? Because of human trafficking and sexual predators. I'm sure we had them in those days, but they were not coming out from everywhere. In those days, you had to hide the older copy of Playboy you found in your neighbor's trash can really well so Mom wouldn't see it. Today, one click and kids can have any perverted porno site they want to watch right on their smartphone. Parents have a hard time controlling what their kids watch because they're not as tech savvy as their kids. Today, perverts trap kids into meeting them on the internet and through their cell phone. In my day, they would have had to stop me on the street in the open and talk to me. You can't really get many kids that way. We used to sit outside the local pub on the street and listen to the music. We didn't have to worry about gunfights erupting in the club. People didn't carry guns around with them anywhere. Sure, there was an occasional fist fight, but that didn't last long and the guys usually shook hands. They didn't stab the other guy or drive by his house later and shoot him. I think I was in my early teens before I had the heard the word mall. Up until then, it was Main Street USA and all the stores and shops on the street. It wasn't a gathering place for gangs and kids to sell drugs. At that time, I would have had a hard time imagining thousands of people in one building at the same time. I think a mass shooter would have been frustrated with my hometown Main Street. It would not have afforded the shooter mass targets. The small mom-and-pop shops really afforded lots of cover. Besides, most people knew each other and would have noticed a man carrying a long rifle down Main Street. Heck, the barber could call all of us kids by our first name. Today, you can hardly call your neighbor's kids by their first name. In fact, you may not know your neighbor. So why am I sold on protection? Because as much as I would like it to be like it was when I was playing Cowboys and Indians, it isn't. In fact, you would think we live in two separate planets. Everyone is carrying a gun. Well, I guess because the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. Where along the way did we get to the point of arming average citizens to fight bad guys? Why are we so concerned with bad guys that we have to pass laws that allow good guys to wear guns? What happened that we have so many bad guys? You know, I was not aware of the crime we had back in the 1950s because I didn't have a television to watch and was lucky to have a radio. I was not about to listen to the news when I could listen to music. Today, nearly every newscast leads with a horrible crime. Now we have instantaneous coverage of carnage all over the world. I guess my tiny brain back then just didn't have the room for all that negative information. So why am I sold on protection? Because I don't like envisioning my daughter or my granddaughters being abducted off the street on the way to school and sold into the sex trade. I don't like envisioning a maniac walking into a building and randomly opening fire where my son might be attending school. I don't like the image of a drug-crazed idiot beating a six-month-old baby to death because they are crying from not having their diaper changed, and then saying they didn't know what they were doing. I don't like the thought of two or three men in their 20s kicking in my son's front door, pistol whipping him, his wife, my 5-year-old granddaughter, and my 6-month-old granddaughter. How would that make you feel? Do I like the feeling? Absolutely not. So why am I sold on protection? Because it's not like it was in the 1950s. I have to take a different action today when handling threats than I did on the bus when I handled the bully. It requires different knowledge and different skills today. Crime and violence is more organized and sophisticated. Criminals are better equipped. Kids would rather shoot each other than settle their arguments with fists. We have broken homes where kids in the street don't even know where they're going to sleep any given night. Gangs take full advantage of that to recruit them into the gang. The gang provides, in a sadistic way, comfort, protection, a sense of belonging. In my youth, we got that from our parents, siblings, and the home environment. People today are influenced not by a few drugs, but a multitude of drugs. Money is much more powerful today than it was in the 1950s. People are focusing on power and base their worth on material things more than Christian values. So you just can't sit back and wait for things to happen. They will happen too fast with too much force for you to react. The only way to handle today's world is prevention, and protection is all about prevention. So, in some ways, my experience on the bus has proven useful in designing protection strategies today. The same principles apply. Where possible, avoid violence, evaluate, regroup, and come back to fight in a way that prevents the problem versus reacting to the problem. So why do I like protection? It's not because I have a history of being a law enforcement officer, because I don't. It's not because I have special training from U.S. Special Forces, which I do. It's because, as an everyday citizen, I have to survive and live without thinking about these things that represent an increase in the severity of violence today. I have to keep in mind, even if I don't have daily experience with them, people like mass shooters, drug dealers, sex traffickers, drive-by shooters, domestic abusers, home invaders, thieves, and disgruntled employees, just to name a few, surround my world even if they are not part of it. As an average Joe, I learned the art of protection. The art of avoiding threatening situations with minimal or no violence. I have learned the art of creating the security I need to let criminals know I would not be a good victim. Rather, they should seek elsewhere. I have taken on the personal responsibility and accountability to protect myself and my loved ones because no one else can. Law enforcement can't, the legal system can't, the school systems can't, no one can except me. So I had to learn protection, and I had to learn it well, just like I learned to be a strategy consultant, how to build high-performance teams and corporations, and how to be a father. None of these things came with my birth. Protection didn't either. This is why I developed Creating a Bad Guy Free Zone. First, it ain't like it used to be, and you can't do anything about that. Secondly, it isn't getting better in the world, it's getting worse. Thirdly, leaving myself and my family unprotected leaves me with those horrible images. I don't think about those images much, although occasionally it keeps me focused. I keep up with what is going on in the world, and I'm aware of my surroundings constantly, one of my basic premises of protection. Lastly, and perhaps most important, I don't live in the past. My philosophy is that people will come to attack me and see that I am prepared and well protected. And if they come to attack me, they will make an attempt, but fail because I am well trained, capable of escape, and when cornered as a last resort, I am a skilled combatant who practices his skills regularly. I'm not a law enforcement officer, I'm not a military combatant now, I'm not a great hunter, I'm just an average guy like millions of others with one distinct difference. I have a personal protection strategy that creates a bad guy free zone and provides me with the knowledge, ability, and confidence to act in a self-defense situation without hesitation. My question for you is this: are you ready? Do you really feel confident about how protected you are in this world? Have you truly stopped, closed your eyes, and seen your children shot by a home invader, and what that image feels like? If you're answering no to these questions, you're not ready. I recommend you start with Create a Get Bad Guy Free Zone webinar seminar. You too can live your life with less fear knowing you're prepared. Vic Vogel is president of EIP Educational Services, LLC, a protection education company, and Eagle Investigation and Protection, a consulting company. Vic lives and operates in Oklahoma City. He holds a master's degree from the University of Oklahoma.